Welcome to the podcast, The Journey of Entrepreneurship, guys, with Jeff Trimble. I'm your host. No special, guest on this one. It's just going to be a little rant with me, a little bit about me, Jeff Trimble, 24-year-old entrepreneur, own my own media marketing company, and I've been a freelancer for a little while, entrepreneur for the last 2 years, just recently launched and went full entrepreneur. I've been working the whole side hustle game for a little while. Friday, the 13th of October, kind of fun fact enough, full entrepreneur, and here I am. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about because it's been coming up a lot in the little interviews and questions that I've been getting hit with of just details. So first thing, also about me writing a book, because I'm writing a book about Bitcoins and the mindset, not necessarily about Bitcoins, but I'm writing a book about mindset and entrepreneurship relative to Bitcoins and how Bitcoin has have changed my life. And analyzing the path that I took within Bitcoins. But the three things I'm going to talk about. First one is numbers. So numbers and understanding numbers, spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. Number two will be like mindset, but that's going to be tied a little bit into numbers. And number three is going to be entrepreneurship as a whole, like millennials wanting to be an entrepreneur, but not knowing how to start a business. But that's, I guess, the whole gist of this podcast, right? So numbers, guys. So if you can't understand numbers, like, the schooling system has failed us. I've said this over and over and over. Schooling system has failed us. They've dropped the ball. They really have let us hang. When it comes to really understanding numbers and understanding business and how a profit loss statement works or any of that kind of stuff works, and it's sad that, like, the basic numbers of people, like, not understanding how numbers work, right? It's missed opportunity and missed information. And really what brought this up is I was talking about in my book that I was writing, and it hit me again, square in my face today at the gym. I went to the gym, go buy some pre-workout, some C4. It was $6, right? I handed the guy a 10. And my change was $4 naturally, right? 10 minus 6 is 4. So I looked at the guy and said, actually, you know what? I don't want 4 ones here. Hand him a $1 bill and say, just give me a 5. So I've already told him, right? He looked at me and was like, okay, now you're screwing everything up. Now I don't understand. He literally could not figure out what change to give me back. It wasn't a jumbled mess of numbers. It wasn't any extra coins, nothing. He kept looking at the screen at what said the change was due and started pulling out ones. And then he looked at me and goes, and then pulls out his phone, pulls out the calculator on the phone to figure out what my change was. I'm like, this guy was not like a young guy. He had to have been, didn't look like a tweaker, nothing. He was at the gym, just a basic gym receptionist, like normal guy, cashier, right? Could not figure out that 4 + 1 = 5. I literally just looked at him and said, dude, the change is $4. I gave you another dollar. That makes the change $5. Just give me a 5. It took him probably about 45 seconds to a minute to figure out what the money was that he owed, that was owed back to me. Even though I started out by saying, dude, just give me a 5, it took me like doing this, and he get all offended that I was getting upset that he pulled out a calculator. I mean, I was upset, but I was like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, just give me a 5. You don't see this, right? It's because our brains, like, I don't want to blame it on him, and I don't want to talk trash about him. I don't want this the way it be, right? The conversation to be. It's because the way that they've trained our brains to think, we're so reliant on the system anymore, on everything. Like, the schooling system has taught us to be reliant on the system, get a good job, get a good, right? They don't teach us, they did not teach us how to really think in forms of numbers really quickly and how to start a business. And really, when it gets down to the nitty gritty, a business is numbers. That's it. Like, that's it. I mean, there's more back end, like, sales and stuff. But if you look at the numbers, you'll know if it's a business or not, if it's a failing business or a profitable business. You will be able, if you know the numbers of everything and you can design a spreadsheet of exactly what an opportunity is, you'll see more opportunities, right? And I was talking about this in my book, kind of foreshadowing. I was talking about how I missed opportunities in the past to seize opportunities because I didn't understand the profit loss ratio of certain things that fell in my lap. I've had a lot of opportunities come by me and in my life, and as I'm writing this kind of book, thinking back on opportunities and entrepreneurship, I really start to realize how many opportunities I missed because A, I was closed-minded and wasn't willing to risk my money. I hadn't yet developed the mindset of money being poker chips instead of like this thing that I have to hold super close to me because I need to pay my bills, Right. I hadn't yet broken that mindset of okay, these are my fun coupons to bring me back more fun coupons. You know what I mean? That's what I think, how I think of money now, at the very least. You know, they're poker chips to be invested, right? I hadn't thought about that. So I'm sitting there thinking, and time is money. Opportunity needs to, everyone says you need to, it takes money to make money. I'm sure you've heard that. It takes money to make money. And really how this plays into, right? So if you can read numbers, I promise you can find the money, right? And I'm going to bring up a concept here, OPM, in a second. But what I'm talking about with this is what I missed, right? So I was back in the day, I was looking at a Bitcoin mining computer. We'll keep it vague, so it really doesn't matter, right? And this computer, for just basic terms of business, this big computer would have cost me $3,000 approximately, and it would have made me about $30 a day, right? $900 a month, right? I didn't realize in my head at the time, and wasn't able to run the numbers to see this. Of, okay, this is going to make me all this money. So what I did is I decided that I was going to waste a bunch of time and pass up on this opportunity of doing this because I didn't understand that $3,000 now make me $900. I kept telling myself, dude, I don't have the money. I just kept making excuses. I don't have the money. I couldn't take the risk. And that $900 would have paid me for a minimum of 6 months. I would have been making $900 a month for close to 6 months. It was a missed opportunity back in the day, right? $900 for 6 months. I kept telling myself I didn't have the money. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the money. I did. I actually had the $3,000 cash on my wall. That was my savings fund at the time, but it was my fun money. I wasn't willing to relinquish the money for anything that wasn't entertainment and enjoyment, right? I was at that part of my life where I was going to college and playing video games. That's all I really wanted to do, and I wanted to spend my money on video game coupons. Now, fun coupons at the time were fun coupons. That's all they were for, were to buy fun. That's it, right? So now I see this and I'm like, dude, how stupid am I? Because that money, I could have literally made all my money back in 3 months. Been above and beyond, right? And my money would have been back. And then I would have had an asset in my house plugged into the wall that I could have sold at any given point in time that is now worth, at minimum $2,000. So my break-even point, and I hope I don't lose you guys because I know a lot of people don't know numbers, but I want you to start thinking different, right? When would my break-even point have been? Well, the break-even point would have been at the point at 1 month, pretty close, right? If I can sell that mining rig, I bought the mining rig for total of cost of $3,000. I can sell that mining rig now for $2,000, right? Because it has a resale value, and I did the research to make sure it does that, and they already sold, were selling for that, parted it out. Worst case scenario, I sell it for $1,500, right? So I did the numbers, the research. I understand that I can resell it. Now my break-even point is when I make $1,500 on the worst case scenario, so 2 months. Anything after 2 months, I am now ahead, above and beyond, right? Or I could have been looking at this another way around. If I'd have been looking at this another way around, I would be making a profit anything after that time point, and I could have sold my whole system at that point and be up and making a profit. So that was kind of the big problem is I didn't understand numbers, and I didn't see really how to balance a checkbook or how to run a business or in that kind of aspect, right? The big issue with that is nowadays is we all have plastic, we all have credit cards, and we swipe the credit card over and over and over. Back in the day, all grandma and grandpa, they would sit there and they'd run their money and use a checkbook. And at the end of the month, every single month, you'd see them balancing their checkbook, right? Well, you don't balance your credit card statement. You don't sit there and check and see where your money's going. So you sit there and you spend more and more and more. You overspend. And then you don't have any extra money to invest on other things. You just don't really see that. Now, it kind of brings me into good debt and bad debt, right? There's two different types of debt, other people money, right? So now let's say I didn't have the money to buy that Bitcoin miner. Let's kind of bring a different aspect into this kind of thing. I didn't have the money to buy the Bitcoin miner at the time, right? So what I could have done instead was I could have pulled out my credit card, which was in my pocket, and purchased that credit card with other people's money. I could have invested that and reinvested into something else off leverage. And this is how actually a lot of businesses are purchased nowadays. If you know how to play the cards right, right? Real estate, for example, there's a lot of big real estate investors who are buying real estate, big property complexes and all that kind of stuff with other people's money. That's how you get rich. That's how you become build passive income. You leverage and you play the cards right. Now, good debt and bad debt. And I want to talk about this. This is not financial advice. This is just kind of a new mindset of thinking because I had not grasped that yet or brought into that. This is actually a subject that I started learning about a year and a half ago through Robert Kiyosaki's books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? So other people's money enables you to leverage other people's money, and you make them a little small, you know, on your credit card, for example, a small interest payment, small monthly payment to pay it off. Now, what good debt is debt that makes you money and pays off your debt at the same time, will turn you a profit for, right? I'll get more into that in a second. Bad debt is debt that is just losing you money every single month. And that's what most people use their credit cards for, is to get into bad debt. They buy a new pair of Jordans. They buy new video game accessories. They buy new shoes. They buy, I mean, just this garbage that they just don't need. They buy junk, right? And then just they could collect interest on it. They pay more payments on it, yada, 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 okay? So now let's say we'll go back to the Bitcoin miner example. I swipe my credit card. I purchase that Bitcoin miner for $3,000. For that $3,000, my minimum monthly payment would have been, what, $70 a month approximately, right? So $70 a month, and my Bitcoin miner would have been charged me, you know, like interest-wise on that and the standard interest rate, whatever the number is, $30, $40 a month in interest. Big whoop-de-doo, right? I'm paying it off anyway in 3 months. My Bitcoin miner now is going to be sitting there making me $900 a month, no money out of my pocket, literally didn't cost me any a single dollar, and my minimum payment is going to be $30 a month. So I'm making $900 a month, paying $30 a month. My net profit, if I want to pay that off in over time, is what, $870 a month? See how you play the game here? Leverage. Now, if you were smart and you're the basic investor, what you would do is you would sit there and you'd pay off your credit card, get it off, paid off quick, so you're not collecting interest on it or any of that kind of stuff, or splitting it, pardon me, excuse me, or split it so you pay it off instead of 3 months, you pay it off in six, and use your money that you're making and putting that money off to the side for other investments, right? Using those as more tools to buy other things that are going to make you more passive money every single month. So you can sit there and you can start growing your portfolio. Smart people, smart business owners will grow their portfolio with assets, money that makes them money every single month, where poor people will grow their portfolio with liabilities, things that loses them with money, cars, shoes, just things that deteriorate and depreciate, right? That's kind of the mindset of an entrepreneur there. And that's where the biggest issue is people don't see that. They don't see the aspect of money. They don't grasp, they don't see the numbers. And once you start looking at the world as in numbers, once you start seeing numbers, profit, losses, and you start understanding that this is a game. You know, life's a game. It really is. Your life's a game. Some people are winning at it. Some people are losing it at it. And usually the ones that are losing at this game of life are either sick, you know, depressed, unhealthy. They're trying to live off the government. They're wanting more benefits. They're just trying to get more for less, right? That's not what they want. That's not the way I want to live my life. That's great for some people. But really, mindset is everything. And you need to – here's another example. I want to give you another example. So when you start seeing and understanding and learning numbers, opportunities will literally fall in your lap. There's so many freaking opportunities in this world once you start thinking and understanding that it's unreal just how many ways that you can make money. But you have to think a little differently. You have to be looking for opportunities and you have to be prepared. Everyone's like, well, it takes money to make money and I don't have money, so I'm not going to, you know. They don't educate themselves on how to do the process. And when you want it, you really, really want the deal and you see that, dude, this is an absolutely amazing opportunity. I promise you, you'll find the money. When you can see the numbers and you can break down the profit and losses, just like I talked to you of how it works, and you can write that down on paper, if you don't have the money, I promise you, you can find an investor that does have the money, especially when it's that quality of numbers. They'll look at you and say, all right, let's go. Here you go. You get it done. I promise you, right? There's a lot of rich people out there that are looking to take their money and make more money with it. And that's not the path you should start with. I mean, I'm not telling you to go ask for charity, but what I'm telling you to do is start looking for opportunities. I was working at a Walmart store fresh out of high school. Here's another example of an opportunity. I was working in the electronics department, and Walmart's policy is if it does not have a designed or authorized shelf space at the time. I don't know if it's still the policy, right? If it didn't have an authorized design shelf space, then for like an old outdated item, right? It just got removed off the modular, off the shelf, off the design spot. If it got removed, then it goes into the back room and just stays back there. It doesn't go into the shelf. It doesn't get put back out there and plugged back out there until there was another place to put it, right? Until the modular had updated. Right? And so this was an incredible thing for me. I saw it as an opportunity, and a lot of people saw it as, a pain in the ass. They were upset. They were like frustrated. Well, I went to the back room. My district manager, no district manager, my department manager kept complaining about these boxes that were in the back. They're like, this whole policy. She's like, I hate this. I hate this. I wish I could just get rid of this stuff. Yada, yada, yada. Like, she's like, dude, I wish it was gone. Like, I'm tired of it. Well, in the back, I decided that I was gonna go look and see what it was because it's gotten shoved away into the corner. I look up there. It was limited edition, gamer's chest, kind of like Call of Duty, like the prestige collector's edition of StarCraft, like the ultimate gamer's collection. When they come out, it was like $100 for full price. It was $100, but there was limited quantities of them. Right? Walmart had five. Like in the back room, in the back, there was five of them. Now, it had been sitting in the back room in a wrapper, in a box, in pristine condition for probably close to 6 or 7 months, right? Just sitting back there getting price markdowns, reducing prices, price changes over and over and over. Original price, $100. My price for each individual one was probably $55, somewhere around there. And there was five or six of them, right? Me, being the dude I am, I was like, okay, pull out my phone, hop on eBay, look at it. At the time, I think there was still to this day, there was a barcode scanner. You could scan the barcode and it'd pull up all the other items that had recently sold for that item. And I saw that they were selling on eBay for $300 each. Some of them upwards of 500, right? So I was like, dude, done. I'll take all of them. I didn't have the cash. I didn't have the money. So I pull out my credit card, swipe the card right then and there, buy all of them off my credit card. Done. Purchased, done. Go throw it up on eBay. I had them all sold in less than a month, and the first one I sold for $300. I paid off and broke even with two games. The rest were pure profit after shipping and handling, after eBay fees and all that kind of stuff, right? Broke even, turned a little bit of profit more than likely after the second game, on the second game that I sold, and I could have kept the rest. Huge win. Huge win. So once you start seeing the world differently, once you start wanting opportunities, then you can get more opportunities. Like they will fall on your lap. You have to be vetted to them. The world will vet them. And it's not like the world chooses to shove the opportunities from some people to another. No. It's just not that. Everybody has the chance to see this opportunity, right? It's being broadcasted. This opportunity is being broadcasted. The world is giving it to everybody. It's a radio signal going to everybody, but you have to have your brain, your mind, your thought process tuned to the specific frequency to understand and receive what the world is putting out for you. You have to have that tuned process to see that opportunity, that profit center, that chance to change your life. If you're not prepared, people say, dude, I was at the right place at the right time. Well, the only reason they were at the right place at the right time is because they were prepared to be in that place. They had worked on their mindset. They had practiced learning numbers. They had trained to be in that place. Do you think the best NFL players in the league get that way just out of luck? Do you think the best businessmen get that way out of luck? No. No, they get that way because they work and they practice and hone their skill and get good at it. So why aren't you doing that? Like people start out their careers, you have to start out like as a business, right? This is a where the mindset shift is. It's like people want to be paid for the work that they're doing, right? Nobody wants to work for free. I mean, I don't want to work for free, but I see it differently, right? So I work for free all the time. I'm working for free right now, creating these podcasts for you guys. But why, right? Because I love it. It's good. It keeps my head going. It teaches the world. It meets you to a better goal and mission, right? In business, starting a business, becoming an entrepreneur, that's what you have to do though. You have to work for free, right? People are trained now because of the employee mindset, they went through schools. People are trained that they have to be paid for the work that they put in. So they expect that if they're training and learning a skill or a trade, that they have to be paid for that. That's why a lot of people don't take the responsibility on themselves to learn in their free time, because they're like, no, I'd rather enjoy my life. They'd rather spend that time. Well, I spent the last 5 years teaching myself, training myself, diving into podcasts, to, you know, webinars, to seminars, to books for the last 5 years while working a job. I spent weekends at home when people are out drinking and partying. I spent all of Christmas with sitting there with my family. Absolutely. I still was having family time, in which family first is very model, but free time working and learning, right? They went to bed, they did their thing. I hopped on my computer and started training last year. I was at a family reunion in Texas with my little brother's graduation. They all went to bed. It was 10 o'clock. I spent the next 3 hours working on myself, getting better, training, sharpening my skills, because the more I know, the more valuable I am. And all of that was done for free, right? Preparing myself for an opportunity that's going to come out. So as an entrepreneur or business owner, you have to be prepared to work for free. You have to put in that time day in and day out to work for free. And if you can do that, what will happen is it'll compound, right? Something eventually will happen. My mom was telling me this, and I was kind of like frustrated about it when she first said this, but it makes so much sense. She's like, was going through a rough patch in her life. The world was shitting on my family, my mom and my dad, right? That, you know, bad things were happening. Bad karma was hitting them, not because they were bad people, but just shitty circumstances for the last couple of years. And she looks at me and goes, dude, it's got to turn around. We've been working so hard. We've been practicing so hard. We've been doing so hard. It has to turn around. And now it's starting to pop for my parents. My dad is doing incredible at his new career. He's doing incredible and getting there. Like, that's it, right? I believe in karma, but when I was looking at it, I was like, dude, the world doesn't owe you shit, is where I was going with this, right? I was looking at my mom. I was like, dude, my mom, I was like, mom, I love you. The world does, you're not, like, don't give me that entitled bullshit. And she's like, no. Don't lecture me. And I was like, yes, mom, I love you. But she's like, no, this is what I mean. She's like, I've been working my ass off. My dad's been working his ass off. They've been doing things. She's like, we're not entitled, but the world can't shit on good people forever. And I'm like, bingo. Okay, I get it. I see what you're trying to say. What she was saying is, if you work fucking hard enough, day in and day out, every single day, you just put in the fucking work for free, the time, the effort, you get beat on, you get punched down, you'll get stronger. You become prepared. You become empowered. You understand the process, and you went through the ringer, and you come out that other side like a fucking raging bull, prepared to take on the world. And that's what happens when you get beat down. That's what happens when you get punched in the jaw and you get rejected on your business advice. I've been cold calling. I've done everything, right? I've done it all. Like, I've gotten so much rejection in my life. And once you start realizing, I say this in my podcast sometimes, you win some and you learn some. Once you start seeing that these losses, quote unquote, that most people are, they're not losses, guys. They're not losses. You don't lose. You never lose in life. You never lose in life if you have the right mindset. You only learn. And the knowledge, the gain, if you look at it in terms of gain and positivity, not all sunshine and rainbows, you know. But if you look at it as a learn, that loss sucks, but that's the most valuable asset that you have in your mental toolbox. You know where you went wrong. You sit back and you analyze. That's the reason I'm writing this book right now. I'm going back and analyzing the things that I did once upon a time back in my life and seeing, okay, this is how I started as an entrepreneur. This is what I did wrong. Let me teach it and analyze it to people, because I see a lot of people coming to me doing the same path that I was on. They're 24, 25 years old, which are still young as shit. I'm 24, 25 years old, but I went down that path when I was 18, 17. I did the same thing, and I see them doing the same things that I wanted to do. They're trying to reinvent the wheel when I've already done that. Other people have already been down that process, right? I want to be there for those people, right? I had some lady today. I did a podcast, and I don't know if you've heard that, because I probably post that podcast before you'll see here this one. But I did a podcast today with an old coworker of mine. Okay, she's starting an Etsy shop. And she's coming to me, and she was talking to me about, dude, I need to understand. Like, I told her, I was like, dude, you need to buy a URL for your Etsy shop, because she had just the basic generic Etsy thing, right? And she's like, why? Like, why? I was like, because that's your online real estate. This is your opportunity. This is we're skewing off away from the numbers thing. So, right, I told her we're gonna talk about multiple topics. This is your online real estate. You need to put a flag in the online world of you own this, right? So I made her go buy the domain name of her business. She couldn't understand why she had to go spend $12 right now. And then I made her go through the process of setting up the domain to redirect it to her Etsy shop, and then it started to click for her. She goes, "Oh, so that way I can just give this domain out to all of my entrepreneur or all of my potential clients. Instead of saying, 'Hey, look me up on Etsy,' I could say, 'Hey, go to this website.'" I'm like, bingo, right? Simple, seems super simple. But if she had that question, didn't understand, I'm sure other people have that question, right? So she started this Etsy shop. She's girly, girly kind of stuff, hand-created, shoppy stuff, right? They're cute. They're actually really good. Go check out our Etsy shop if you watched out my other blog post, by the way. But very good stuff. And she's like, "Dude, but I need to know how to get my brand out there. I need to understand." I'm like, "Okay. You need to set goals first. Like, what are you doing with this? Like, why, what is the point of you starting this business? Well, I want to be free. Don't want to have a job anymore. I just want to do this. I want to do that." The typical reason anybody starts a job: I want to make money. I want to do this. I'm like, "Girl, you have to be willing to do this shit as a hobby for a long time." And I was like, "You have to put in the effort and learn how it works, because not everybody can just come out and do artsy craftsy shit and make it. I mean, some people can. There's this lady in New York City that owns a unicorn horn hand creating business. Like, what she does is she literally just makes unicorn horns and attaches them to headpieces so girls can wear them around. Young kids can wear around unicorn horns and makes a killing. She does it with her daughter. Her daughter comes in and they do this, and people now can come into her little shop and make unicorn horns together in New York City. She has a couple of employees doing that shit. So it works. It's great. And we've all seen those videos on Facebook where it's like, cool, let's make something cute. You know, it all works. But she's like, "How do I get my name out there?" And I was like, "Well, you can make these cutesy things, but you have to market it. You have to play the marketing game. You have to get your name out there." And she goes, "How?" I like social media, omnipresence. You give your ideal customers what they want." And she's like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "My ideal customers want my stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, but you don't, catch a fish by showing him a hook." And she goes, "Oh, so I have to put bait on it." And I'm like, "Yes, but what's that mean?" She's like, "I don't know." So I was like, "Look, this is what you need to do, right? You need to go find lookalike audiences." And this is how a lot of startup, entrepreneurs, like, it's important. Like, so you understand numbers, you're getting things done, but you need to find lookalike audiences. When you're starting a business, you're getting things done. I said getting things done like eight times now. I apologize. You're starting a business. You want to get it online. You want to market it. And you want to sell things. You need to A, understand the numbers, the profit loss, how much things you need to sell. You need to spell out the opportunity. You need to write out a business plan. You need to set goals of what you're going to do. And then you need to be willing to do that shit for free. Have enough money if you're going to do it full time to pay your bills for the next 90 days or more or longer, 6 months, doing it for free. Or do it, which I highly recommend, do it as a side hustle while working your job and have them pay your bills, and you try to make this as a side hustle. A lot of people will go get a second bit or job to pay their bills and say, "Oh, I need to, get a second job to have play money." No, fuck that. Like, don't get a second job. Go start a second business, a side business. That's what you should do, right? Well, anyway, so she's starting this Etsy shop, and I told her, she's like, "How do I get my name out there?" And I go, "Well, do you have an Instagram?" She goes, "No." I'm like, "Do you have a Pinterest?" She's like, "Kinda." I'm like, "Okay, do you have a Facebook page?" She's like, "Yeah, I just created it today." I'm like, "Okay, well, go start all those. Get them all created." She goes, "Okay." I was like, "Now what you need to do is you need to go out and you need to stalk every single girly website and what's getting pinned that is similar to what you create. You need to go find other pages, create a list of them, and figure out what photo types are getting posted. Are they, what filters are they using? What do they look like? How, what lighting are they under? Like, what is working now on the social media networks? What hashtags are they using? How are they gaining their followers? How did they get their start? What did they do? Scroll down to the bottom of their feed and see how they, started. What did they change? What are they doing now? What's good? What's not? Find a bunch of freaking competitors or similar lookalike audiences of people that you know will like your content too, and work with them. copy them, then work with them. She goes, what do you mean work with them? I'm like, influencer marketing. Okay. So you start creating this content. You're posting a couple times a day. You build up your profile. It looks pretty. You're not going to have a lot of following. And I talk about this in another podcast, and I was telling her this. You can have the best content in the world, but if nobody sees it, then you're never going to create any followers. You're never going to create any traffic. You're never going to do any of that. Now, that's great. Hashtags help you get discovered. That's cool. But she's like, dude, I want to grow faster. I want the success now. How do I do it? Cool. You post several times a day. And then you go work with your lookalike audience. And she goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, go send them a DM. Say, hey, look, I want to be featured on your profile. I want to give you free products. Find a way to have them shout out your profile for as little as possible. And you don't want them to shout out your profile by doing a screenshot of your profile. Like, that's the old ways of Instagram. You don't want them to just say, go follow you. What you want to do is you want to get your items or merchandise if you're a merchandising company, or you want them to get them to talk about you in their Snapchat story, like Snapchat story on Instagram, whatever, you know, like the story feed, and talk about you and ask their followers, give them a call to action, a high quality call to action, a kind of a, you know, a blurb saying, hey, go check this person out. They have incredible things. Then have them consistently like and comment on your photos. And the goal is for those accounts to have 30, 40, 50, a million followers, high followers, that you can partner with them. Because what's going to happen is as they engage with your account, their followers will see the engagement and will start coming over. Now, influencer marketing right now is super underpriced. You can get on an Instagram page that has 100,000 followers, is getting killer engagement for $20 if you want to do it just a paid shout out in most cases. You could probably get on a lot of these influencer marketing sites if you're a bigger business and already have some followers, not being created for scratch, free of charge. All you'll have to do is give away something of your products to them. So say you're a coffee shop, you give this, you know, soccer mom that has 30,000 followers free coffee for a week if she posts a selfie every time and tags in your location and likes your photos. She will go in there and she will take a freaking selfie ecstatic that you gave her free coffee and tell all her followers that. Now all of a sudden all of her followers are coming in. To get the same result on Instagram, it's relationship building. It's like it's playing off people's relationships and digging deep, drilling for oil. Now, are all accounts going to have you that success? No. Some accounts are fake. Don't buy fake followers. Some accounts are just boosted, and some of them just won't shout it out right, or you'll use them improper. Like, there's so many factors that go into advance. I know this sounds super easy, but this is something you're going to have to test. You're going to have to learn what works for your network. You're going to have to learn what works, what promotions will work, because certain promotions that will work on one person's followers page will not work on another profile. Like, you can't post the same content when you're doing influencer marketing on one, you know, the dude's profile that, like, you know, that rides motorcycles as the soccer mom. You know, they have to have different, you have to tailor it to their followers, but relative to your business at the same time. You have to drill for oil. I was told you I was going to give you three topics, but I was ranting and I go squirrel mode and I forget what the third one was going to be. Well, who knows? It's been a long enough podcast. I think I've dropped enough value for you guys today on here. And what I want to say is I just want to summarize it. Guys, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to be prepared for the fucking hustle. You have to be prepared for the amount of work that this really takes. I work all day, every day, more or less, after I go to the gym, after all this stuff. I am literally working. And I am all day, every day, doing influencer marketing, working with people. Like, that's why I do on my podcast, for example. That's why I have other people guest star, because that's a form of influencer marketing, right? I'm partnering with other people that have friends to get people onto my content, because if they're on the podcast, they're going to share it with their friends. Their friends are going to listen to it, and they're going to be like, oh, this is good. And maybe, you know, look, you need to be prepared to not get a whole lot of results in the front end. You know, Rome wasn't built in one day. And I know a lot of people say they understand this, but my podcast is not going to go today. And I think a lot of us feel like we want success now. We want it all now. We want the world now, but we don't really realize how fucking long it takes, right? My podcast is not going to go from, you know, 100 followers that it's at right now or something like that, 100 listeners to 5 million listeners by tomorrow. I'm not going to go start making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars off of my podcast right now. It's just not going to happen. It's going to take time. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. And it's going to take partnering with people to get more eyeballs on what I do. Is my content that quality? I think so. You know, I mean, my followers, my listeners that are listening to it now keep coming back to me, dude, like, you need to post more. Well, like, okay, cool. You know, like, they want more stuff. They tell me it's good. I don't know if it is or not. Maybe I'm biased, whatever, right? But here's the thing. You just need to be prepared for the uphill battle, and you need to find partnerships. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. You've all heard that. And you need to start getting good at math and numbers and being quick with those numbers in your head. Because if you can start getting good with numbers and doing the numbers in your head, not everybody can do it in their head, and that's totally fine. But if you can at least get good at reading the numbers in the spreadsheets and how to understand businesses, then you will see the opportunities. Now, there's some people that will just never get good at it. Am I saying that those people can't be entrepreneurs? Oh, hell no, I'm not saying that. Everybody, I think, can be an entrepreneur. But those people will need a team. They'll need advisors, and they'll need a little bit more mentorship, right? So you need to surround yourself with people that can help you pick up the slack of where you mess up, where you're missing. People that can help you with the skill set, mindset that you're just lacking, right? So that's the reason you listen to podcasts. That's the reason I'm sure you're listening to this, because you want to learn more things. You want to grow. And I know that, you know, the people on this podcast are usually not those type of people, you know, that I talk about all the time. I know you guys, you know, Team Trimble, hashtag Team Trimble, are more successful. They're more hustlers. You understand business a lot more. You are different. You're the stronger crew. You are taking over the world one day at a time. And I know that you don't expect these things to happen overnight. I understand that. But I also understand that the people that are listening to this are going to share it. You know, the friends are going to listen to this stuff. And those people might be changed. They might see it a little different. And then eventually, it snowballs. So thank you guys for listening to this. And I want to say, guys, I know you guys listen to my podcast, but do you follow me on my YouTube channel? Do you follow my web blog? Because I also put out incredible content all the time on both of those. So my personal web blog, www.jefftrimble.com, JefftrimBlee. You can rewind this for 15 seconds if I said that too fast. Or I could just repeat it in slow motion. JefftrimBlee.com. JefftrimBlee.com for my web blog. Just search Jeff Trimble on Instagram. You'll find me. If you go to my web blog, there'll be a little link on there. Kind of cool thing. Put out incredible videos, incredible blogs. Subscribe. My Snapchat. Scan my Snapchat on my personal website, because my Snapchat guys usually get to see the content first or get a heads up when I'm creating it. So more exclusive content. Hope you love it. Hope you enjoyed this time together. And what I want to say is happy hunting. Good luck. And we'll see you on the next podcast.